Good morning and welcome to Your Voice Matters. I'm Arch Hunter, the host of the program. Your Voice Matters, a program that discusses the political issues going on in our country. And this morning, we want to welcome back as our guest, G.R. Mobley. So, G.R., thank you for coming back and sharing with us on the second program.
Oh, no problem, Arch. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. G.R. is a Marine. He is an educator. He is an expert in the Constitutional and the Democratic Republic of which we live. He is a radio host of a program called Reclaiming the Republic. And in our first program, G.R. was just ready to talk to us about Republic Review. So if you would like to pick it up there, G.R., and continue on with your thoughts about Republic Review and the sovereignty of our states.
Sure, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, the concept, because people go, well, where is Republic Review in the Constitution? And I try to point out to them, if you understand that the Constitution is enumerated, that it only defines the enumerated powers to the general government. And in Article 1, Section 10, it only creates very few limitations for the federal government. So if it's not listed, then the federal, or I should say, if it's not listed in the Constitution, then the states have the power and authority to do anything that they desire. And the 10th Amendment gives them that, because anything that is not directly delegated to the federal government, I'm paraphrasing, but that the all powers are reserved to the states that are not delegated or listed as a nugatory against the states. So that's why Article 1, Section 10 exists, because it did create some limitations on the states. And if you read it, it starts to make sense. But the whole concept of Republic Review is the premise that the states are the stakeholders of the Constitution. They have innate within contract law, any stakeholder of a contract has the power and ability to audit their contract at any point in time when they believe that their subcontractor, which is the federal government, because we've delegated powers to them just like a subcontractor would, or I should say in a contract, the stakeholders delegate to a subcontractor. So that's the federal government. They're the child in this relationship. So if the states or the stakeholders feel like that child or that subcontractor is going well beyond their limitations, they can come in and say, where did we give you this power? If you read Madison and Jefferson's resolutions of 1798, they were clearly asserting the state's authority. Most people make a huge mistake on this. It's a huge mistake because they think that they were only nullifying. Nullification was a point in fact that when a law was created, such as the Alien and Sedition Acts, that was a violation of the supreme law, which was the Constitution, then those laws were automatically null and void. But all you had to do was clearly identify how those laws were violations. So in Jefferson's Resolutions of Kentucky, he clearly, and if anybody reads those, if you've read them before and you go, oh yeah, that's all about nullification, this will help you clarify that that is not about nullification, because in his resolutions 1 through 6 or something like that, I think is the first 5 or 6 resolutions, he is auditing the Constitution. In other words, he's identifying that, you know, we have this limited government, and then this particular act violates this part of the Constitution and this part of the Constitution, and this act violates this part of the Constitution, and this act violates this, this, and this. So he's clearly auditing how these acts are violating the Constitution. And then in Resolution 8, this is the big one, and everybody misses it. Jefferson calls for the creation of committees for conference and correspondence. Those right there are fighting words, and when it got transposed in Kentucky, what they ended up voting for unanimously did not reflect those calls to arms. If you look up on your favorite search engine, I use DuckDuckGo, but if you look up committees of correspondence, those were the shadow governments that were created when Britain disbanded the state governments and they instituted their own governments. They created puppet governments in the colonies. And that was when they created these committees of correspondence and they started communicating back and forth into what to do. And instead of having an election to say, hey, folks, we're going to go to war and you guys want to vote for this or not, they led and they made the decision that they were going to create the Continental Congress and then the Declaration of Independence. As you know, and they literally defined that they were going to go to war. And that was all done via this mechanism called committees of correspondence. And the committees of conference was a different committee as well. But if you understand what he was saying, It was not about nullification. He was calling the states to unite in these committees so that they could start talking about how to rebuke the federal government in getting them to act within the boundaries of the Constitution once again. And in Madison's resolutions of 1798, in the exact same resolution number 8, he actually says that the states are duty bound, that they must interpose, and that he's asking the states to cooperate with this state in taking the measures necessary in getting the federal government into compliance. And I'm paraphrasing, but if you start looking at those two resolutions, the resolution 8s in both of these, Kentucky and Virginia, you will find that they weren't asking the states to just nullify. They were asking the states to get active, to cooperate, and to work with them in getting the federal government back into compliance. There's even more history on this concept, because in Federalist Paper number 49, Madison, because the Anti-Federalists said, hey, you know, what about these concepts of two conventions, one for amending and one for enforcing? Madison quoted Thomas Jefferson from his book, The Notes on the State of Virginia, and he does clarify that Jefferson actually calls for two different types of conventions, one for amending the Constitution and correcting deficits, and the other was for dealing with breaches of the Constitution. Bottom line, he goes into these grand concepts, and actually that's where this whole concept of the Article 5 Convention was injected, because it was in Jefferson's book. And so Jefferson, even though people don't know it, Jefferson actually had influence in the Constitution, even though he was overseas in France at the time. But the concept of the states being the stakeholders of the contract, that they had the power invested in them to make sure that that contract was abided by, was not a power that was delegated to the federal government. It is an innate power in contract law. And so Republic Review is literally just getting one state to do what Thomas Jefferson did in calling out all of these egregious violations, and then calling upon their other states to join in working together, in pulling together. They'll use the word convention, but to me, this is just an audit. This is a formal process that the states come together, they audit the Constitution, and if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, right there on that homepage, I identify the academic argument that you can do this, that they need to do this. This is the only way we can save the Constitution. And then under that is the flow process of how this process works. And actually, at the very bottom of the page, I have a picture of the model. And so this is available to anybody to go look. If you understand what we're talking about, what we're doing here, we're actually calling upon a state to start this and getting the rest of the states to come along. If we have 13 states that commit to enforcing the contract, enforcing the Constitution, and not amending the Constitution, we then have the necessary power to keep the federal government from amending the Constitution to make some of their illegitimate powers legitimate. And we also have the ability to actually shut down the convention of states, because when you have 13 states that say, we will not process any amendments, we want compliance to the Constitution first and foremost. And if you understand the different types of tyranny we're living under, from the education system, healthcare, from illegal immigration and not following the laws of the land, all of these different things, abortion, I mean, I can go on and on and on, the Second Amendment and how states are infringing upon that and violating the 14th Amendment. I could create this huge list of all of these threats of tyranny that we're living under. Republic Review solves all of them, because every threat that we're living under, whether it be abortion, whether it be healthcare or what have you, Republic Review would force those things to go away and those powers would be restored back to the states. Because clearly, the federal government does not have jurisdiction over anything that is not enumerated in the Constitution. So like abortion, there's nowhere in the Constitution that the federal government has the ability to determine life, or, you know, whether somebody can be killed. As a matter of fact, if you read the resolutions of Kentucky, Thomas Jefferson clearly points out that the federal government only has jurisdiction over four types of crimes. And so the whole concept of the FBI is unconstitutional, because we've never delegated them the power to create all these laws of, you know, drug laws and everything else. Those are powers that are still reserved to the state that have been usurped. So when I create this huge list, I mean, it is a huge list of powers that they have taken, that the court has overreached, the Congress, and even the president over the history of our republic, that Republic Review would force the compliance to the Constitution and actually get the states back into the mode of delegating the powers for the people that they're representing and no longer the federal government, if that makes sense.
In case our listeners missed it, we'll share with them again, please, the website where they could go.
Oh, sure. It's reclaimingtherepublic.org.
And the flowchart, listeners, is, to me, I'm a visual learner, and I looked at the flowchart, and I can see how it would evolve to get us to the point where we could have this.
Right. There's two things I'll just quickly inject, because this comes up a lot. First off, people go, well, how do you get political force? How can you force this? Currently, based on the red states, from the reddest to the least reddest, with the top 27 red states, we would have a majority of representation in both the Senate and in the House of Representatives. When the state legislators, because they are the sovereigns, and most people don't understand that legislators are the sovereigns. When the state legislators are actually at that critical mass where we have 27 states and they dictate to their representatives that they will be violating the Constitution if they vote for unconstitutional budgets and if they are not voting and calling for complete compliance of the Constitution, then they're violating their oath of office and committing treason. So if any member of Congress, whether they be in the House or the Senate of these 27 states, refuse to comply, the states in Article 4 of the Constitution actually have the power to charge them with treason and have them extradited back to the state. And so you got to understand that even in session, a congressman can be jerked out of session if they've been charged with treason. That is the law of the land. So if they don't comply, once we have these 27 states, then these congressmen can be jerked back. And if they can't be found guilty of treason, because what will happen is the governor will replace every single congressperson and senator, because that's the process in the Constitution. When somebody falls, they die or they've been removed from office, the governor then appoints who is going to be replacing that person. That governor will make sure that he's appointing somebody that's going to do the job and comply. That person goes to Congress to fill that seat. That other person comes back. They go through the trial process. If they cannot prove treason against the Constitution, they will be able to prove a violation of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And if you read that, that is where anybody that takes an oath that violates the Constitution or gives aid and comfort to enemies of the Constitution, such as illegal aliens and supporting, you know, the DREAM Act and these types of things, then you will clearly see that they can be removed from office, banned for life from ever serving in public office ever again. And so the states have all the power over these sovereigns in pulling them back and actually decimating them. And the states can have their compliance that they're seeking because they can demand that of their sovereigns.
What states are interested in doing this at this point, GR?
At this point, so Wyoming is the state that's really moving head forward. And there are some other red states that we're working with. And some of those states being the Dakotas, some of those states being West Virginia, Tennessee. And so we actually have some legislators in a few different states. We have party people in a couple of states, and then we have different people working with us in getting this information into the hands of those, you know, political leaders as well as legislative leaders and so forth. So we're hoping that in the 2020 election, we can actually flip at least one, if not a couple of states in calling for this audit and this convention. Some people are very, go ahead.
No, I interrupted you, so I apologize. Finish your thought.
Okay, so some people are really concerned that this could be hijacked and be, you know, derailed. An audit is a very clear-cut process. It's either in the contract or it's not in the contract. So there's no way that this can be derailed because nobody can come along and give evidence because there is no evidence that the federal government was given these powers or delegated these powers formally from an Article 5 process. In other words, there has to be an amendment to give them the ability to create the FBI and creating all these laws and the DOJ and these other things just on the law side. Same thing with education, same thing with energy, same thing with agriculture, same thing with labor. In 1929, Congress tried to amend the Constitution under Coolidge, and Coolidge was a huge champion for giving the federal government the ability to regulate labor, and the states rejected it. Just like Madison rejected, Monroe rejected, and actually Andrew Jackson rejected the concept that Congress could create the power of the Department of Transportation, because all three presidents vetoed bills that would have done that. So there's an overwhelming evidence that the federal government is so outside of its boundaries that the states can easily pull this in. And there is zero evidence that they've ever been formally delegated these powers. So it can't get hijacked. And the other thing that's really important that people garner when they read the process of republic review, if a state that joins the process of republic review has a petition for a convention of states, then those states with petitions would rescind their petition, because it's very important that we send a clear and succinct message that it is about compliance to the Constitution. It has nothing to do with any desires of an amendment. What we want, because if you fathom this, over 85% of what the federal government is doing is outside their boundaries. If we get them to comply, almost all of our problems go away. Mm-hmm. And then once we figure out, you know, that we get the federal government back into compliance, then the states can start looking and going, maybe we want them to do this, but we got to get them into compliance first.
You said, I believe, if I heard you correctly, you need 13 states to do this?
It only takes one state to do this, to start this. 13 states is when you hit that magic, you create the magical wall that there can be no amendments made by the Convention of States or by the federal government, because you have 13 states committed to not ratifying any amendments until full compliance has been obtained. So to clarify what that means, you have to have 38 states to actually amend the Constitution. If I have 13 states, that means that you mathematically out of 50 cannot get 38, because I've only left you with 37.
Okay. So your statement in Reclaiming the Republic, there is no greater issue facing our republic today than federal tyranny. Could you share, or would you share with our listeners, would you believe to be several of the major situations over our history that got us to the point where we are today with our government?
Yeah, so I already called out the court, SCOTUS, right, for creating unconstitutional footings that later they started inserting case law and precedents into the Constitution. You know, and one of the things I like to do in my presentations, I pull my phone out. Everybody has a cell phone. I hold it up and I go, you all have a cell phone, right? And you all have a contract with your carrier. And mine is, you know, let's say Sprint. Have you ever heard of Sprint law? And I'll pose that question. And of course not, because contracts do not beget law. Contracts are the foundation of an agreement. The Constitution is the foundation of an agreement. It is the supreme law of the land of certain powers that has been delegated, but bottom line, it is still a contract and it does not create its own laws. In the Constitution, Congress has the ability to create laws of those enumerated powers and those enumerated powers only. So if Congress wanted to create a law regarding the militia, because that is clearly a power delegated in Article 1, Section 8, then Congress can actually say, okay, all militia members are to be having this, this, and this. But they never did that. They've never created laws regarding the militia. As a matter of fact, they've ignored that. And most people don't realize it, but the militias, one of its primary roles and responsibilities for the federal government is the militia is supposed to enforce federal, or I should say constitutional law, laws that are actually in pursuance or within those boundaries of the Constitution, such as the Whiskey Rebellion. The Whiskey Rebellion was fought by the militia. George Washington used the militia to go into Pennsylvania and enforce the whiskey tax law. And the concept that we have the IRS, the BLM, the ATF, and all of these other enforcement agencies under the federal government, what that means is they have created a new form of a standing army of enforcing their laws. And the framers were adamant that we were not to live under these standing armies. That's why they've never used the army to create and force laws in the United States. What they did was they created these other enforcement agencies, which is the exact same thing. only the militias. And if people understand this, when your militia of your state has to go around and they actually know you, you know who these folks are, because we're all a part of the militia, technically, whether it be a formal or informal. But bottom line, the concept of what they did is beyond, you know, I think most people's comprehension of how divine that was in ensuring that there was some, I'll call it a litmus test. There was some process that people would go, you know, hey, this is not a good law. We're not going to enforce this. Where with the BLM and all these other people, they have no compunction if they kill Lavoie Finicum. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge difference.
How is your organization encouraging states to have the Republic Review? And how could our listeners encourage the state of Pennsylvania to be involved in this?
So what it takes is there's a couple of problems I'm dealing with. One of them is rhinos. There are lots of rhinos in every state. But you do have a couple of good champions in almost every state house that are true lovers of the Constitution. They recognize all of these problems and they see the rhinos are the ones that are selling them out. In Wyoming, they've got the exact same problem. There are a lot of rhinos in Wyoming as well. And so what I've done is I've started actually educating those leaders, whether they be leaders in the party, leaders in the legislature or so forth. The help that we can do, this may kind of go as it may defy logic, but I'm trying to help educate the people in the blue states, because I'm telling them they're lost. People in California, it's too late. People in any blue state, it's too late. We only have 5 years, and this is mathematically proven, because the education system since 2012 has been injecting 4 million dolts, or what I call Bolsheviks, because they'll have their Bolshevik revolution in 2024. 4 million voters injected into the voting process since 2012. If you do the beer math on that, that's about 50,000 or 50 million kids that have been weaponized to surrender our liberties will be in the voter process by 2024. And it's going to continue into 2030. They will get their Bolshevik revolution. And if you understand, the Bolshevik revolution was dependent upon useful idiots, people that didn't know and were bamboozled and or convinced that this revolution was for them. And that's exactly what they're doing in the education system. And so we don't have a lot of time. And I'm trying to convince these people in the blue states that they need to invest their money in these constitutional candidates that are signing these pledges and so forth. There's a lot of information to give you, and these half-hour segments are kind of tough. But what we want to do is we want to have some rodeos in 6 or 7 red states next year. I have, if people want to help with the funding of this, I do have a crowdfunding campaign that's out there, and I'm only looking for reimbursements of travel costs at this point in time, because going out and meeting with the parties, meeting with the state legislators and so forth takes time and money, the travel and so forth. And so I'm only looking to just cover my travel costs and the travel costs of others to go capture this, video this, and put it up. I actually traveled to Wyoming. That video is available up on YouTube so that people can see me actually addressing the party and how the party quickly, and in Wyoming, they passed last month resolutions calling for Republic Review. So we're ahead of the game of where we need to be in Wyoming. The only problem is we need the funding to actually start doing these advertisements, marketing, and everything else to help educate the voters, and doing this rodeo for Republic Review next year. If we do that rodeo and we do this documentary, I believe this whole concept of being able to obtain compliance of the Constitution once again will spread across the landscape of America like a wildfire. And people will say, you know what? This is the better path. Now, I'm here to tell you that people will, you know, the first thing some people, you know, of the retirement age, the baby boomers will go, hold it, this is going to get rid of my Social Security. No. What we can do is we can close Social Security and actualize it. Milton Friedman had a great suggestion that nobody ever heeded. All you have to do is actualize it. We still have to pay for it, and we owe that to people. But we don't owe people food programs, and those programs are already in the states, and the federal government shouldn't be meddling with any of these other things. But we can close these other things so that they're no longer a anchor around the neck and the burden that our future generations will not be able to bear. So there's a really easy way to fix all of these problems. The problem is getting people to the table, and instead of just everybody piping in their suggestions, learn about what everything is on the table about first. Then you can go, okay, well, actually, this all does make sense. And most people would probably find that we've already dealt with all of those concerns and those problems. So anyway.
So you are not trying to overturn the Constitution.
Not at all.
You are trying to correct the wrongs that our politicians and we have allowed to transpire against our Constitution.
Absolutely. It's not the Constitution that's the threat. It is the government that's not abiding by the Constitution that is the threat. That is the definition of tyranny. Tyranny is arbitrary rule by a government governing class of people.
And our listeners need to know and understand with Your Voice Matters that we need to actively take a part in what's going on and stop what's going on to return us to the Constitution that our founding fathers created. As we end, GR, could you share with our listeners again your publications and where they would be able to purchase those and also listen to your radio program?
So my radio program is on Red State Talk Radio. I am on the air for those on the Eastern Daylight Time, Eastern Standard Time from 6 to 7, exact same time. So it's 3 to 4 on the West Coast. You can go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and get all the information necessary. We have a lot of good links there. And I would just recommend understanding and digesting this concept. If you want to support us, we have links to the crowdfunding on Reclaiming the Republic, as well as where you can buy my books. All the proceeds from my books and any money donated will literally go to paying for the travel costs. I've not taken a penny from any sales of my books or anything that we've done at all. This money is actually, and I try to tell people to come on board, and I've had 3 people over the past 5 to 8 years come on board and say, okay, this is a great way we can make some money. I go, no. The framers took no money. They did get compensated, but they took zero money. It wasn't about self-interest. We have to set aside our self-interest. We can't take money for this, or we will lose. We'll become corrupt. Right. And so this is literally just what you're paying for is helping cover our costs. And so that would be reclaimingtherepublic.org.
Thank you so much. Listen, this is GR, we want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us today. And we're just scratching the surface. So if you would be so kind to come back again and visit and chat with us, there is so much more we could talk about.
Oh, absolutely. And I try to avail myself to anybody that wants to know, anybody that has the curiosity of knowing the truth.
Well, we want to thank you for your service to our nation, both as a Marine and also what you're trying to do to help us reclaim our republic. So thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
This is 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty.